Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Football did come home, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is here.
All right.
Jim Campbell is here.
Bonjour.
And Pete Donaldson.
Farewell.
Alès les bleu. Alès les bleu, I believe the Spanish pronounce it. They've done it again. They've done it so soon after the last one.
Yeah. The anniversary.
Yes, the Frenchies. What a win. Mm. Great final.
It was.
Six, the first time we've had that amount of goals since, and I won't say the precise year, the mid-60s.
Around the mid-60s.
Yeah. That's right.
It's funny. One year before the Summer of Love.
Indeed. The thing that inspired it, you might say.
Yeah.
All of us were saying on the WhatsApp group during the game that for a little while it didn't quite feel like a final, but it really sprang into life. And actually, it not feeling like a final, I think, is what made it so open and so good. There was no caginess about it. And it was a fitting final for this tournament. You know, you felt that like anything could happen at any point.
Yes,
and France would win.
Well, that's the funny thing, actually, isn't it? That when you, you know, everyone I think has agreed that this has been one of the best World Cups, certainly I can remember.
And, absolutely.
And you could maybe extend that to one of the best World Cups ever.
Absolutely.
In our humble opinions. And so to end like this has been great. But all the surprises, all the twists and turns and so on, and yet when you look at it as a whole, the best team probably won.
Yeah. I would say so.
And that tends to be, not always, but tends to be the case with the World Cup.
There wasn't a team that were absolutely head and shoulders above everyone else for the entire month.
No.
But if you had to begrudgingly bestow that upon a team, you would say it would be France.
But they sort of...
Younger team in England as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But, well, and a better one. But they they sort of want a bit of a canter,
yeah,
really.
A bit of a cante.
well, you say that, but in the final itself, I mean, they were on the... And I'm not begrudging them the win, because, you know, it was a strange game as far as Croatia seemed to have a lot of the play and a lot of the ball. But France also sort of seemed worthy winners as well.
Were you worried for France, though?
No, I wasn't. That's the point. Yeah. But they were on the positive end of some absolutely outrageous decisions in the first half, which Croatia deserve credit for sticking around with.
Not losing their heads as
well.
Yeah,
because I thought there was a chance they would lose their heads. And I thought that you should have an excuse to do that in a World Cup final. But they were particularly hard done by. I mean, the first goal wasn't a free kick. Potentially Pogba was offside as well and he was interfering with play. Then you've got a penalty, which, you know, is a controversial penalty to say the least, and you go into half time 2-1 behind. You think, how's that happened? You know, so they made a bit of a go of it, and then obviously France popped up with these two goals from downtown, from the car park.
Yeah.
And it was what it was. But I didn't necessarily agree with you guys when you were saying it didn't feel like a final. I just thought that because the last two World Cup finals before this, obviously 2010 and 2014, we had four teams who realistically could have expected to be in the final. It felt a bit more like the stakes were maybe a touch higher because Croatia never expected to get there. They almost seemed to approach it like we've got nothing to lose here.
Yeah.
And it made for quite an open game. And that's why it felt that way, I think.
They were the best team in the first period as well, Croatia. It's easy to overlook that.
First 20, like France were kind of all over the place. I mean, they didn't let France just sit back and defend their attacks. I thought they asked a lot of questions of France, and I was kind of disappointed to see the way that the referee handled a couple of the situations.
That free kick for the first goal was unbelievable. But, yeah, I mean, and that was one, as a great example of... when you see a referee who, and I might have mentioned this before, not this particular referee individually, but just in refereeing in general, they train for so much of their young adulthood trying to be referees. I don't reckon hardly any of them play an actual game of football. So they don't see that Griezmann there, I mean, he's buying that free kick all day. And the amount of free kicks that are given like that by referees, it's really frustrating.
Yeah. But I think with that in mind, especially given the stage and given the occasion, you have to give immense credit to Hugo Lloris for levelling that up later on.
Yeah, he did. He did take it in his own hands.
Who has had a great tournament, to be fair. Yeah. But that was a bit of a stinker.
Think that cost him the Golden Glove?
I think it cost him and Subasic.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Subasic wasn't fantastic either.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think Croatia being in the final, maybe subconsciously in England, you know, my interest sort of slightly waning a little bit. From a fan,
because it got so close.
Point of view. I think it's finals when you look at recent finals, you know, Germany versus Argentina and Netherlands versus Spain, and so on, it's usually two traditional heavyweights.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
going into it, you're right. And with Croatia, it was kind of like, well, let's see if they could have a go.
I was massively on the side of Croatia.
Yeah.
I mean, quite apart from European folktale character Luka Modric's comments after the England match. I thought.
Well, I suppose he made those comments because someone has told him something that you or I maybe think is not quite true.
Slaven Bilic.
Yeah, exactly.
Use it.
When was the last time and I guess it depends on your rating of what's traditionally a big team and what isn't, but when was the last time a traditionally big team made the World Cup final?
A traditionally small team, you mean?
This is
why. When all said and done, and we'll talk about England obviously in the second half, with
it
Belgium,
almost never happened.
Yeah, exactly. With the World Cup, it's not like the European Championships. You'd have to go, but I was thinking about this. You might have to go back to, say, 1982 when Italy reached the final, and I mean, they were still a big side, but it was, there was a lot of scandal with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Even then, though, that's not as unlikely as
yeah, exactly.
It, I mean, a lot of that. Sorry to cut in, Marcus, but a lot of it is again the way the draw fell, isn't it? That's as true of Croatia.
Course.
That
yeah, and I think the way that, because we're obviously in England and stuff, and we're very disappointed that we didn't manage to get to the final past Croatia. I think the romance of it kind of died with that a little bit for us, but I think everywhere else in Europe, you're like, God, Croatia in a goddamn final.
Oh, yeah,
and
no.
You've got the rain, and you've got Vladimir Putin and his umbrella. You've got Pussy Riot running on the fucking pitch. It was an incredibly interesting
there
final.
There were representatives of Pussy Riot, mate.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, sorry.
Yeah. There was no members involved. I'd like you to...
Yeah, come on, Pete.
Okay. They're all got the gulag. It's fine.
We'll see you there. But yeah. With regards to teams making the final, you're right. I mean, in 74, the Dutch hadn't done anything in World Cups previously. To be perfectly honest with you, you probably have to go back to 1954 with West Germany when they got hammered by Hungary in the early rounds. Do you know what I mean? Like, but Uruguay won the Olympics before the 1930 World Cup.
So
really, Croatia reaching the final, whoever won that semi-final, England or Croatia, it would have been, even though England have been to a final before, but then so have Sweden, you know, if they could have, it would have been outrageous.
Sweden didn't win the damn thing, though, did they?
They didn't, Jim. So it would have been quite the surprise.
Well, I mean, I think you're looking at Sweden. Yeah, with that 58. In mind, Sweden are the only comparable one, surely.
Yeah, possibly host nation though, but so Croatia getting to the final is absolutely remarkable, and for there to be six goals. I mean, finals tend to be cagey. You know, this is the first time that both sides have scored in a final since 1986. It's the first time a side has scored four goals since 1970.
I did think Croatia showed more than England would have. I think.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I think maybe England have. Well, I mean, dodged a bullet suggests that you've made a sidestep and you're on a better path. Obviously, England lost the game, but I think the consolation is...
You say that, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree. And of course, Croatia aren't blameless for that first goal France scored, because they still had an opportunity to defend it and didn't do so. But France looked a little bit back on their heels for the first 20 minutes, and Croatia took the game to them.
Well, maybe that's what I'm saying. I just don't think England, because they don't score from up and play. Maybe from a free kick.
Yeah, if you let me finish the point. The point is that they were right back on their heels, France. They didn't look really at the races, yet they still emerged from half-time 2-1 up, because they got a good rub of the green, and that probably informed what happened in the second half. If it had gone another way, the final could have gone another way. If they weren't given two, it's harsh to say they were given two goals, but it was certainly close to it. They could have gone into that. They could have gone into that half-time 1-0 behind, and it would have been a completely different second half.
I think they were the better team, though.
Oh, they were. It's a funny. Remember earlier in the tournament, we were talking about Uruguay, and we were reading out some stats saying that Uruguay, I think it was possibly against Portugal, maybe someone had more shots, more possession. And Uruguay looked like on paper they snuck through, but you said, Jim, I never really felt Uruguay were in any trouble. And it was the same with France and Croatia, even though Croatia on paper had a lot of the game.
Absolutely. Croatia had twice as many shots and 60-odd% possession.
Yeah. France have been very good at sort of holding teams at arm's length, haven't they? As we've said, setting that agenda and then just playing to whatever the other team has to throw at them, they'll just do it and they'll do it better. And that was sort of a case of it again. And I'm really, really glad that Croatia managed to give them a scare, because same thing happening against Argentina. We really got to see the best of France in those two games. And a lot of people have been saying, oh, France have been a little bit underwhelming. They've been the sort of one disappointment of the World Cup in the group stages. But it's that whole starting slow thing, isn't it? And growing into a tournament.
You've got to grow into it.
Yeah, and they absolutely did it. I love that is still true in 2018.
And France are 7-1 to successfully defend their crown in 2022. Ooh. £10 with Bet365 will return £80 should they win it for a third time. They've dominated in terms of European teams over the last 20 years. They've been three finals and two wins. Mm. Fantastic from them.
They've been phenomenal.
Get Zidane in.
He's like, sack the Deschamps now.
Deschamps get rid of him. 2 weeks of breathing space now. Yeah. He won it.
Deschamps has been derided by the press a bit in France, but he, as I say, won the tournament without, for my money, too much stress. I know Croatia, you know, gave them a few digs, but I don't think France were ever really truly on the ropes in that final. Even though Croatia did a lot of the early running, France are so good defensively that actually they withstood everything. Yeah. But if you look at it all, in the group stages, France were very uninspiring, but they got through, still annoyed that they drew 0-0 with Denmark, the only ruddy 0-0 of the tournament, idiots. Yeah. But there we are, you won the damn thing. Against Argentina, what were they, 4-2 up at one point? Again, you didn't really worry for them.
They were 2-1 down at one point in that game, though.
They weren't it was behind for long, were they?
Exactly, yeah. And it felt like an anomaly against Uruguay in control, 1-2-0 against Belgium. Belgium were probably the side that gave had the best go at them. But again, they didn't need extra time or anything. You know, compare that to Croatia's route. You know, they really had to be quite almost sort of soldier-like getting there.
I was confused that a lot of people were saying that, oh, Luka Modric has covered more ground than any other player. I mean, they played more extra time than any other player as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
He's certainly had the opportunity to cover more ground, given he's been on the pitch for 90 minutes more than any France player.
Do you count the walk up to a penalty as well?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I think you do, Jim. But Deschamps, you know, a bit derided, as I say, but they've won the cup, being probably the best side in it. I would have liked to have seen France v Brazil at some point.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, we got France versus Belgium instead, which was a good affair. But the scenes of celebration from the players chanting his name in the post-match press conference were quite heartening. They show the harmony in the group. You know, we've talked about this England side having great harmony, and it's been absolutely joyous. And they have. Mm. But the French side, we know that they've fallen out. In 2010, it was a spectacular example when everyone fell out and it all went to pieces. But the good feeling in that camp, and the good feeling from the players towards Deschamps, who seems to have kept an awful lot of players happy when it's very difficult, because you look at some of those players who have been on the bench, look at some of those players who have barely played a minute, if any minutes at all. They were all celebrating, they were all singing. Mendy was up there, top. I mean, he loves it, doesn't he? He's just happy
Mendy's
to be
had
anyway.
A lovely time. You know, I enjoyed his video where he was celebrating, because I think one of the players was playing Football Manager and he was playing as Winchester.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he was Winchester! With the World Cup in his hand.
But in that press conference, they're chanting away and so on. It was glorious. Yeah. You just thought to yourself, with the side, with that talent, with that spirit in the camp,
you also had to leave some really good players out of the squad entirely.
Yeah, absolutely,
And I'm just enjoying Drogba having to go back to the Manchester United-shaped boarding school for another season. Going, oh,
Pogba.
No.
Pogba.
Sorry,
Pogba.
Did I say Drogba? Sorry, Pogba. Yeah. I always get those two names mixed up.
Well, Pogba's been fantastic, like, more recently in the semi-final and the final, and it's amazing, like, what... We've seen the sort of player he is and can be, and we all knew because we saw him at Juventus, but there was maybe a chance, perhaps, some comments about how he had such good players around him at Juventus.
He's got Matic next to Man United.
True, but Matic isn't getting in that Juventus team at that time. So there is a drop-off there in quality.
They played a different style. It's difficult to say. They played a different style. Yeah,
The point being, Marcus, it's not a controversial one, is that he was brilliant at Juventus and he's not quite hit the straps at Man United yet. So people were giving explanations for that.
Yeah, I'm not arguing
that. We don't
that.
Need to do that because France is
sure,
very good.
But I'm surprised that with people say, oh, well, he's got Kante next to him at France. Well, Matic isn't that dissimilar to Kante. I don't know.
Kante is much better than Matic.
Not
much
as much
better.
Energy.
Okay, he's not much better. Matic is a good player. I mean, what was he? Second behind Scott McTominay in the Player of the Year award? But
that's
what I'm saying is, if Mourinho now, we said it before, the ultimate point is that whatever we think, Mourinho has, well, he never bails to pressure, really, does he? But people will be saying, come on, we want a bit of that in this side.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, it's worth pointing out that actually we made the point ourselves that Pogba has been perhaps a little bit underrated in terms of what he's done at Man United, because his record is actually very good if you look at how it stacks up with the amount of assists he got, stuff like that. But he's had a fantastic World Cup, and it's been brilliant to see, because he said earlier he's the most criticised player in the world, and that's probably true. It's probably fair. And it's weird.
Sterling?
That's more bullying, isn't it?
Okay.
But it feels like Pogba's an underdog that you root for, even though he's like one of the most expensive players ever and he plays for Man United. It's a weird thing. So it's good to see him have a really good World Cup. I also love that Giroud didn't score a goal yet has come out of this looking really good. And there's echoes of Stefan Givarche with that from the last World Cup. It's funny to see these patterns emerging again. And also, you know, people said that France were perhaps not as dazzling as you might think. But I don't know. I look back at Griezmann, I look back at Mbappe, and I think they've had really good World Cups where they've been really, really good to watch. And I love Griezmann's penalties as well. I don't think I've ever seen a player that's so good at not actually putting it in the corner, but scoring every time.
Well, obviously
it's
waits.
Like he hypnotises a keeper.
It's true. He obviously waits for the keeper to move. I mean, we remember
went very early in that.
Yeah, he did. But we remember, and Pete was there, so he'll remember as well, that in the Champions League semi-final where he crashed that one off the bar. I wonder if from then on, I haven't watched too many of Griezmann's penalties other than the obvious ones in tournaments, did he change his style? Because he's obviously smashed that whether the keeper's moving or not. And now he's that good, he waits for the keeper, like Hazard does, and just rolls it into the
empty corner. He has a technique, apparently, which is that he just pretends it's a less important game than it is, and then takes it based on that, which is an incredible feat of sort of mental strength.
But he has to wait for the goalkeeper to move, because a player that good is not going to... Although the one against Australia early on in the tournament, I think he put that into the side of the net. So maybe I don't
the,
know.
The one in the final, I was surprised how early Subasic went. And I think Subasic probably wasn't fully fit in that game. Mm. it's funny talking about France, and maybe they haven't dazzled, but all the conversations in isolation around players and positions. I mean, everyone's been full of praise for Varane and Umtiti, full of praise for the two young fullbacks. The goalkeeper mistaking the final aside. People were saying he was a stand-up goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Pogba and Kante, Giroud coming in and changing their entire system, really, and giving them the ability to go deeper than they looked like they might have done early on because they didn't have any balance. And then Mbappe has been the young player of the tournament. So all in all, they've done pretty well. It's been a pretty packed list. And that Pogba pass in the final for Mbappe was absolutely incredible.
Well, Rio Ferdinand said it was naughty.
He did,
which I enjoyed.
I enjoyed, I think Jonathan Wilson noticed that Giroud...
Rami.
Was it Rami?
He got it wrong.
What do you mean? Oh, who whacked the? Who basically had an open goal after the final had been won, and the ball was in front of the on the penalty spot basically, and he took a penalty with keeper in the net, and he just whacked it against the outside.
It was Rami. Yeah,
Rami's looking to get some minutes. Twirling his moustache around,
Right, yeah. Well, he's the good luck thing, is he? He's the good luck charm. Apparently, they touch up his moustache.
And here's Ross thinking it was Mystic Marcus.
But I thought Umtiti had a really good tournament after. Obviously, his handball.
Which was an absolutely fantastic moment.
Yeah.
Even in that situation, he was enjoyable.
He was entertaining.
The two centre-halves for France have been absolutely magnificent. Yeah. I was a bit disappointed. It's obviously Luka Modric won the Golden Ball. Hazard was second and Griezmann third. I thought, could have we had Varane in there?
Yeah.
France's defence.
De Bruyne is unlucky too.
Yeah, I just think that Varane has been absolutely brilliant. I think we all think that.
He has.
And Griezmann's been good, don't get me wrong, but
his defensive players are never really appreciated.
I know. I mean, I think Cannavaro was close one in 2006.
But this has been a very attacking tournament, isn't it? This has been a tournament for forwards, and that's probably been reflected there.
Well, Mandzukic, he scored at both ends, didn't he?
He did.
But the first player to score an own goal in the World Cup.
It's been a very attacking World Cup, but it wasn't like... I don't think there was more goals this time than there were last time.
Yeah, so last time was the most ever, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Croatia are 25-1 to win Euro 2020 with Bet365. £10 will return £260, including stake, should they go one step further next time around.
Yeah.
They can hold their heads high, can't they?
We've got to mention Perisic for that great goal. But beautiful goal. He's had a great tournament as well, especially in the scoring that goal in the final and then his performance in the semi-final. But we've got to mention the penalty that he conceded. I mean, whatever you may think, clear and obvious is, of course, the
buzzword.
The buzzword.
I can't stop hearing it in my head.
Yeah, I've heard, when I first saw it, I thought there's no way that's a penalty. And then having chatted to a number of people, I can see why they may think that.
But again, it's like... This was supposed to be designed to stop this.
Yes.
But it's just made it worse somehow. Clear and obvious is just... Even the term sounds so kind of like unequivocal. But in reality, the rules, like Lucas said, it doesn't kind of like allow VAR to work in that it works. It just added more grey area.
Well, it's shifted the goalpost of human error, hasn't it?
It's essentially added a layer of complexity on because there's still interpretation involved.
I think that was a very, very harsh penalty, I have to say. But I do think overall... VAR has been a good thing because it's meant more decisions have been
made. I would agree.
To me,
with that.
The implementation of that incident there, particularly, he's obviously got something in his ear that's saying, look, you've missed something there.
Mm.
So he's gone over the screen. And he should have been able to decide within like 5 seconds that it wasn't clear and obvious. Mm. It's open to interpretation, as the handball law is. And the handball law is particularly unhelpful for the implementation of VAR. He should have looked at that and said, hang on a minute. I've not missed an absolute howler here. It's not like he's been hauled down in the penalty area and everyone's seen it apart from me, in which case you then go, right, penalty, I've missed that, it's a penalty. He's seen an incident because he missed it the first time, which, you know, I mean, there would be 100 penalties a season for that if it was given. I mean, there's no way it's clear and obvious. But anyway, look, I don't want to disappear down a VAR black hole. It was very harsh on Croatia and it also... essentially punctuated what was a very harsh half for them in total.
Mm, yeah.
And it was hard for them to come back from that and they weren't able to.
Remove the words clear and obvious and just say the referee, if he thinks it's a penalty, then
he can do whatever he wants.
And if you remove the words clear and obvious, then you'd think to yourself, well, I can see why he's given that.
Yeah.
So I think clear and obvious was added just to calm everyone who was going, oh my God, VAR.
I think it's added, Pete, to stop there being precisely what Marcus is saying there, essentially, which is like
constant
100 stoppages a half because the referee wants to get absolutely everything right. And I just don't think that's the way to go. But anyway, look,
the future is drone ref, like four or five drone refs over there.
and if you get to knock the drone out, if you knock the drone out the sky with the ball,
it's a booking.
It's prison rules. There's no referee. Do what you want.
I like that. It's funny, at that moment when the referee was checking the VAR and taking his time, for possibly the first time in my life, I thought, you know what? I wish Mike Dean was here.
Yeah.
How would he react to VAR? How is he going to react to that challenge of his authority? That's going to be a real standoff, isn't
obviously,
it?
Obviously, we're not having VAR in the Premier League next season. I hope there is at least one season crossover.
Exactly. I want to see these two things meet. Yeah.
I'd like to see Deeney have it on a smartwatch. Just watch it on his arm.
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah, no pen.
Tapping his watch. What's that? Still watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, still watching the watch.
It is clear and obvious. Not how I remember it. No.
Yeah. Right. Well, there we are. France are the championes. We're going to talk about Belgium versus England after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh, it's in! And it's the perfect momentum for England now. Two goals up. Thanks here to David Beckham.
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365.
That little clip was for those of you who missed 43-year-old David Beckham scored the winner in the World Cup final.
And England took the bronze. Yes, Belgium finished third.
AKA the real quiz?
Yes, I'd say so. Mm. I love that Southgate said a number of things after the game, but he said if we're honest, we'd have rather gone home 2 days ago. I think Belgium are a better side than England.
Yeah, of course.
I think we're all agreed there
twice.
Yeah.
But England, I think, found it very hard to pick themselves up, but they did, and they
second
gave
half they're okay, weren't they?
Well, they should have scored, really. Yeah. They had enough pressure, but Southgate was very honest afterwards and obviously said, you know, Belgium are better than us, and the top four of the World Cup was probably a level above where England are at the moment, which was what Southgate said. And he was honest about the draw as well. And I think that is very refreshing from an England manager to say these things. And from day one, and you can listen back to the shows, I've always liked the cut of Southgate's jib. Very honest. Very positive, though, but very honest. And England have needed that for many, many years. And so when you hear, oh, well, the England team thought they were a bit arrogant, and I know one or two journalists, they said that about journalists and so on. It's they're not. Southgate is emphatically not that.
Well, it's the people he's gone, talking around England,
course,
isn't it, that being tarred with that.
But he's been at great pains. You know, Southgate, even little things, he says that we make sure when we meet other people from other FAs, we say, hi, we're from the English FA. Whereas before they'd say, we're from the FA, and other countries would get a bit...
That's interesting.
They would get a little bit annoyed at that because, you're the Football Association.
That is quite arrogant, thinking about
it. But in one sense, it's not, because they are the FA. They were the original...
The whole time.
But it's a nice olive branch for England to do that.
I think it's best that England do that. I'm just saying that I understand... why they haven't done before, but they've wised up to the fact that...
Has Cristiano Ronaldo ever met original Ronaldo? I am the Ronaldo.
Yeah. Oh, it's a bit arrogant.
Yeah. I prefer you changed Brazilian your name to
a bit arrogant, Cristiano.
Just in the context of England's tournament after this third place game, I agreed with everything that Southgate said afterwards, it got me thinking that yes, England had a decent draw, and yes, they were fortunate with how the chips fell, and we talked about that. But there appears to be some sort of revisionist sort of narrative coming up in England over the last few days, which is almost like, oh, we were really lucky, and it was, you know, we should have done even better given the circumstances, and that, you know, we've got to be realistic. Well, I would just say to that, they're not mutually exclusive. You can be realistic and positive. You can say, absolutely, we did well. Yep. We did well, much better than we thought we were going to do. But realistically, we got a bit of luck along the way, and this is more of a platform for us. Yeah. And England need to keep it in the front and centre of their mind, which I think Southgate will do, that this has to be now seen as a platform, because case in point, Croatia got to the semi-final in 1998. It took them 20 years to go one step further.
That's right.
And they did that yesterday. So it can, it's a different situation, of course, different resources and different size of country, of course, but if you see that as a summit, it will become a summit. They have to use it to build on now, and they have to push
Harry
on.
Harry Maguire's gigantic son, marauding.
Yes.
Marauding into midfield.
In 20 years' time, Harry Maguire's son will score a header from a corner for England in a World Cup.
Yeah. while Harry looks over the farm back marauding. Home.
I completely agree. It has to be seen as a platform to build on. There are a lot of positives to be taken. Winning a penalty shootout at a World Cup is a massive, massive thing. And that's, you know, if England lose the next one, it's less like a curse, isn't it? It's just like, oh, well, that's how penalties go.
Jim, that's all you
really,
wanted
really
from,
good
from
thing.
Day one.
It's not all I wanted. I wanted Jamie Vardy to score as well.
Oh,
I didn't
yeah.
quite get that.
No.
But it's, as I say, it's a platform to build on. And I think the next thing to look at to try and sort of get off our backs would be beat one of the big boys, get a scalp in a knockout game. Because I believe it's still true that the last time England did that against one of the traditional big sides was actually in the final in 1966. Mm-hmm. This team is young. As we've said before, they're not like a golden generation. They hopefully won't be saddled with too much pressure, and the press have responsibility to not do that to them as well. And also, if you look at the players like James Tarkowski and Michael Keane, those players that missed out, younger players like Joe Gomez, and players even in the squad, the younger players that will want to come on with England. Like before, it felt like, you know, playing for England was a great thing, but it was just part of, you know, the nature of being a footballer. And now, if you look at the players that missed out on the squad, looking at everything that happened in this World Cup, how much would you want to be involved
oh,
in
yeah.
that? How
yeah.
much harder are you going to work? How much more like motivated and determined are you going to be? And that can only be good.
There's also you've got lots of young players coming through where this tournament was far too early for them, like Sancho and Foden and Mount and one or two others. So lot to be
Wilshere.
Lot to be encouraging about. Yeah, and Jack Wilshere, who is still a real prospect. We didn't mention much about the player of the tournament and the young player of the tournament. And it's interesting, given what we're talking about young English players, for Kylian Mbappe to have that much of an impression on a final at the age of 19. Roughly the sort of same, was he, same age as Trent Alexander-Arnold? Bit unfair on Alexander-Arnold.
Marcus Rashford, I think.
Yeah, and I think he's only a matter of months older than Phil Foden, for example. So incredible for his contribution. But that's an inspiration for younger players as well, to say, look, if you work hard, Of course, Mbappe is astonishingly fast and astonishingly talented, but clearly it's a lot of hard work as well. When you hear people talk about Mbappe, you hear about this old head on his shoulders, how hardworking he is, and all the rest of it. And that's as important, of course. So a lot of inspiration for these young players to draw from.
Look at the breakout stars in the England squad. Harry Maguire. Like, nobody saw him putting any kind of footprint on this tournament. He was imperious at times.
He was brilliant.
Well, the three players picked for Trippier and Maguire, I mean, Trippier is 27. And that's also an encouragement for other players. There is improvement. I think we said before, you know, that, I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily call him a late bloomer, you know, but you don't have to be a Kylian Mbappe or somebody like that and have it all at 19 or other players at 21, 22.
If you can play in the system, you've got a place.
Exactly, and that's what it's about.
And I think this World Cup had a nice mixture of, for England and the English perspective. I think in the cold, harsh light of day, I think the way England played against Croatia, I think those players will be disappointed in themselves, the performance, and possibly the system as well.
Yeah.
But mixed on with that, there was just a huge amount of positivity in the way that they got there. They'd got as far as they'd ever gotten since 1990. And it was just a really feel-good tournament for England. So I think there's a nice little mixture, and there's something to aim for. There's something to attain, I think, for the next tournament.
Yeah, sure. And I think people, there was talk of England missed an opportunity when Croatia beat them.
I understand that. You know, if you're 1-0 up at half-time and even beyond that in a semi-final, you're disappointed if you get pegged back. But again, we're all agreed Croatia are a better side. They're cannier operators than England, and that is a lesson to learn. And Southgate said the defeats are good lessons and will help us with our development. And England, as again, I'm sure a lot of people thought, probably you ran out of legs, ran out of ideas, just ran out of steam and probably went really as far as they could. And again, if you sit back and you just watch patterns of football, how they go over the years, probably about right England finishing the semi-final. I know sometimes those patterns are disrupted. Leicester winning the league, Liverpool winning the Champions League, you know, even Portugal winning the Euros and so on. And they're the glorious moments. And of course, I'd have loved England to disrupt that, those patterns that I talk about. But it wasn't there. But when people say, oh, England missed an opportunity, no, they took an opportunity.
Yeah,
because they got to the semi-final. They won that penalty shootout. You know, they beat Sweden. And England have struggled to break down lesser opposition, and they did at times against Tunisia, but they got the win. And
that's a first game as well.
Absolutely right. As I kept saying, it was the first game, and so they took that opportunity, and the country responded.
And one of the things I just wanted to make sure I mentioned about Southgate as well before I forget, and this is the final opportunity we're going to have in the context of this World Cup, is that what he's done, as I said a few shows ago, he's repaired this connection between the squad and the fans. But I didn't go into how I think he's done that, and the way I think he's done that is because he's not conceited.
He's a thoroughly good bloke.
He's not done really conceited, worrisome things like, you know, the 2006 and 2010 sort of nadir of the sort of big players who really disconnected from the fans. I don't think, from my experience of working with players and ex-players who've played for England, that any of them care less about playing for England than they ever have done. I think they care a great deal.
I agree with that.
If you speak to any ex-England player, they'll be able to tell you straight away how many caps they've got, who they made the debut against, who they scored the first goal against. They love it.
Yep.
But the problem is, I think in the old regime pre-Southgate, it was just so conceited that I understand, for example, in 2006, there wasn't real social media stuff anyway. But I guarantee you, if Twitter and Instagram existed then, the players would have been banned from using it. And there'd have been no connection. Whereas what Southgate's done is he's opened them up to the media. He said, you're adult human beings.
He's treated them like adults.
I trust you to be able to say the right thing, do what you want to do. And also with the social media, you know, be responsible with it, but I trust you to use it. And that's also helped. It's not just the football on the pitch.
Yeah.
It's also the fact that they've seemed to be approachable and normal and fun and sort of almost example setters and role models. And we don't want to get into a conversation about whether footballers are role models or not, but they've taken that responsibility and people have enjoyed it and people have loved them for it. And it's been a fantastic experience for everyone.
And because of all that stuff, again, without labouring this point, because there's absolutely no need to, but I've been amazed the amount of non-English people that have got behind the England team, your friends of mine and people we know, which I've never seen before. And I understand why. And if we never see it again, I understand why. It's not something, I totally get all that. Mm. But that shows you that there is the likeable nature of some of those England players and the manager and so on. It sort of transcends things, you know.
I think some of that disconnect as well came from the sort of media training that you hear from players when they speak in post-match interviews and things like that. And also that sort of translating onto social media with things, but you know, players having their accounts managed by people, which I'm sure there's still a degree of, but Southgate, as you say, Luke, has allowed them to truly be themselves on Instagram and on Twitter. And I feel like I've got an idea of what Harry Maguire and Jesse Lingard are like. They look like they're quite fun, and, very likable people. In the past, that you wouldn't have been able to see that side of them.
Also, back then, we had a lot of brands. We had Brand Rooney, we had Brand Gerrard, and we had Brand Rio and stuff like that. And it was like, and these players coming out before this tournament, sort of
now
saying,
we've got J-lings.
these players coming out before the tournament, basically saying, "Oh, you know, we couldn't get behind, we couldn't truly click with England because of our allegiances in our club teams and stuff."
Yeah.
I think that's a disgraceful admission, to be quite frank. And I think that's something that
Pique and Ramos have done all right, haven't they?
Well, they did for a while.
Team of the World Cup, wasn't it? Fair Play World Cup, which is mental. Yeah. Spain, Fair
round.
Play.
To be honest, you should only...
With Ramos!
But you should only qualify for the Fair Play if you sort of go past the quarterfinals, I think.
And also, Ramos should be completely banned from it for free. But what we're trying to say in summary is that England are going to win the Euros in 2020.
And Harry Kane won the golden boot, and that's the big prize.
And they are 8-1 to do so with Bet365. So £10 returns, £90 including stake, should England win Euro 2020. And let's not forget, the semi-finals and the final are at Wembley, aka the home of football.
What a carrot.
It's coming home.
It's not again. It's coming home. It's coming.
Euro 2020 is coming home.
Well then, ladies and gentlemen, And don't think we've forgotten, because now is the time to unveil our predictions.
I've got the prediction box to my right.
Pick it up.
Wow.
Do the honours.
I've got it. Okay.
Yeah,
dish them out.
I, to be perfectly honest with you, I'd forgotten about this.
Oh, that Marcus, sounds like an admission that you've fallen well short, Marcus.
Before we
Speller.
Do it, before I hand them out, how sort of confident are you guys based on your memory of what you selected?
I think I've done okay, but I'm not going to hit too many bullseyes.
Here's the trophy.
There it is.
Cameraman Sam, get the trophy. There
what
it is.
That?
It's a piece of rock.
Put it in there. It's like a piece of was it amethyst or something?
It's kryptonite. I wondered why.
I think it might be amethyst.
Peter, there you go. Pete's drawn a picture of a cock and balls on here, so I know it's his.
Yes. Okay. Fine.
This one's got no name on it. Jim, there you go. That's yours. What's this one? Marcus Speller BSC on there. Well done, mate.
Uh-huh. Here's mine. Who wrote that?
Right. So before you do it, I need to just remind everyone of the categories, okay? Mm. So I'm going to do that very, very quickly. So we had, for the predictions, which I know a lot of you played along at home with, and you're welcome to share them with us using the hashtag World Cup Ramble or just tweeting us or Instagramming us or whatever. The categories were World Cup winners, dark horses, where England's World Cup would end, the top scorer of the tournament, the total amount of goals, the total amount of cards, including red and yellow, and a selection of a strange moment, theme, or happening. I've got all the answers here, so we'll do them. I'll do them one by one, and we'll go around the table. Should we do it that way?
Okay.
Okay. So I'll go to my left. So Jim, first of all, who have you got for World Cup winners?
Remind us who won.
The winner was France.
Thank you.
I had Brazil.
Peter.
I also had Brazil.
I also had Brazil.
And I went for...
He's got it, isn't he?
Brazil.
Oh, did you?
All of us thought Brazil would win, so that's no points for anyone.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, next up, dark horses. Jim, go your
friend. Oh, Jim. Colombia.
Second round, not
They got put in their damn place, and rightly so.
Well, hang on, so what are we...
It's the team who's gone the furthest.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah. Okay, fair.
Peru. But they were one of the better teams that didn't manage to get out of their group.
After two games. Yeah. Uruguay.
Shut up, Marcus.
Uruguay. Does that count as a
dark
horse?
That's not a dark horse, you
of course
dirty
it does.
Boy. They've got a massive history in the game.
That goes back to the 30s and the 50s.
Look, if correct. Uruguay had got to the final, everyone would be saying that was amazing.
So all right, fine. I went for Serbia. And I was close to going to Croatia.
I went Uruguay or Croatia, and I picked Uruguay.
Marcus, you can have
but
that
it still
one.
Got me
you
over the line. Got me over
all right, so next up is where England's tournament would end. Jim?
Yeah, quarterfinals.
Oh, unlucky Jim.
I also went for quarterfinals.
Oh, no, I wonder where this is going.
Unlucky Pete.
I nearly went semi, but I went quarters as well.
Did you?
Semi-final.
Well
get
played.
That. Semi-final. Get
well
that.
Played. Well played.
I had faith in the boys. That's the most important point.
Yeah.
It's not about the point for me. It's about that I had faith in them.
This one, the next one, top goal scorer, which is, of course, Harry Kane, is the one I'm most annoyed about.
Okay, so
I'm annoyed about this because I forced myself into a corner that I didn't need to.
Yeah.
Jim?
Well, I nearly went for Harry Kane,
which you could say before anything, couldn't you?
Which, is as an Arsenal fan, would have been a disgrace. Carry on.
But I actually went for Neymar.
Oh, Mitro's on fire.
Yeah!
He's terrified. Mitro's on fire.
He stuck to your guns, and I respect it.
Fair play.
Well, he certainly had enough chances, by the way.
I know, right?
I went for Griezmann.
Did you? I also went for Neymar. Bad. Neymar.
So I win that one, do I?
No, no one wins it.
Yeah, you said, is it not the...
No, I'm mean, not different.
Okay,
right,
fair. All right.
Okay, so total goals... I'll tell you what.
So what was the tally?
The total amount of goals in this tournament was 169, which I think was four fewer than last time, maybe?
It was close to last
time. So we're looking for the closest answer to 169 total goals. Jim, what have you got?
I went for 150.
Okay, 19 away. Mm. Pete?
I was expecting VAR to come into this a little bit more. I thought more goals would be chalked off. 165, though.
Oh, four close. Away.
I thought that this is just going to blow the goal records all over the pitch, so I went for 198.
Bloody
right,
wow. Ambitious.
Right, that's right. Everyone took the piss out of me when I had wildly strange.
No, you were about 70 out.
Marcus, let's bring this up. If you want to do it, let's do it.
Yeah.
The first time we ever did predictions, for people who don't know this, the first time we ever did predictions on, I can't remember which tournament it was, but Pete predicted, I think, something like 36 goals.
It was 37.
And which would have been fewer than, I think, half a goal a game.
I may have misread the question.
So, Marcus, you went higher, you're out.
I buggered it. Yeah.
I also went, believe it or not, 165, four away.
Oh, it's a draw.
Pete and I get a point each for that, I'd say.
Yeah,
fair enough. Lose.
And the next one is total number of cards, which was 223, which was 219 yellows, on average 3.42 per match, and just four red cards.
Just four red cards.
Last time around, there was 10.
Yeah.
So, 223 for the total number of cards, the nearest to it, Jim.
I went for 182. I'm surprised it was so low.
Okay.
Doing it.
Yeah, miles away, 170 yellow.
223.
Oh, whoa, man, that's amazing. That is incredible.
Wow. What's going on here? Check the seal on the box.
223.
It's there.
How about that?
I had 195, so not.
Who else? Yeah. Who else among the world's public predicted the right amount of cards?
Let's see your reds, big boy.
Come on.
Well done, Marcus. You get a point for that, mate. Yeah. Of course.
Well pleased about that.
Some would say you should get a bonus for that, but not me.
Yeah.
Right, and the final one, which is normally the most entertaining, the strange moment, theme, or happening. I think we should.
Have we done red cards yet?
Included. It's included.
Oh, it includes all cards. Oh, 182 then.
Well, how many red cards?
Same as me.
I did 12.
Okay, right. Yeah. Jim, go on for your strange moment, theme, or happening.
I'm glad this didn't happen, but I've just gone for the Birdman will fall.
Oh, that was a bold shout.
Oh, yeah. You'd actually seen
really
collapse.
See it. Yeah, right, yeah.
But there was a Birdman, off. The Colombian Birdman. There was. I feel it was more of a tribute act. Mm. I don't think it was the traditional one, because what you're saying is he would almost like hover above the stand,
yeah,
wouldn't
and
he?
That he would fall off. Actually, though, what I definitely meant was that the spirit of him would fall when he was, his wings were clipped in a penalty shootout against England. So I think I should get a point
and a bonus point.
Thanks, mate.
I was convinced you were going to go for England to win a penalty shootout because you were talking about it before.
Didn't want to jinx it.
No, fair enough. Yeah. Appreciate that,
Petey.
I did four answers.
Let's hear them.
Sepp Blatter will be seen kicking it with Putin. That happened.
Oh, yeah.
Did it? Was he?
He wasn't seen. No,
he was seen with Putin.
Was he seen on? When?
Who was he seen by? He would have been seen by somebody.
No. Not would of. Was he actually?
Would have.
I didn't say photographs. I said he was seen.
Pete, majority rules. You're not.
He was kicking it with Putin. He was hanging out with Putin. That's what happened.
Can you remember that, Luke?
No. Carry on.
I'm not going to win, Marcus. So don't fucking worry about
What's
it. A stray dog will cause mayhem in Sochi. They've got a lot of stray dogs. They've got a lot of stray dogs.
That's like saying a pigeon will shit in London.
Mayhem, though.
Yeah. What else have you got?
Don't worry, Jim. He's not going to win.
Yeah.
The Egyptian really old goalkeeper, El Hadari, will play in the last match in the group stage. He did that.
He did. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well played.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, public vomiting by a referee. That did not happen.
When you say public, do you mean on the pitch or like he's seen in a bar?
Yeah, either or. Can I just say,
I mean, I'm not proposing to get into it, but the fact that you've given four answers and got one of them right is a little bit unfair.
Strange
really.
Moment.
Got two of them right.
All right, Marcus, go on.
Marcus.
I buggered this up because I didn't look at his schedule. I said Donald Trump to be seen in the posh seats. And I'm glad the blonde bastard wasn't there, to be quite frank.
You know, he hung out with the Queen. What posher seat is there?
No, I meant in the stadium. No, I'm trying to help you. I didn't realise that. I appreciate that, Jim, but it didn't happen.
I've got...
Because I'm an honest man.
I've got an England player will score a hat-trick.
Oh, nice.
There we go.
Has a cane, just about.
There we go.
Just about off the heel and Morsy takes the point.
Hat-trick.
So Pete got one because he did four answers. I got one. I think that makes me the winner.
No, it isn't.
3-2.
Football is the
winner. No, because I won the total cards and the dark horses. Mine one went furthest.
Dark horses.
Yeah, 2 points for that.
Yeah.
So how many did you get?
3.
Where'd you get the 3?
The strange moment theme were happening, the total number of goals, and the World Cup and England's World Cup end.
No, but you and Pete drew with the total number of goals, which cancels it out.
It doesn't matter. what actually matters is that everyone bloody well enjoyed it.
What matters is that with regards to the names, Luka Modric won the Golden Ball.
Oh, yes! Exactly. So I'll claim that, I guess.
What's been your favourite sort of moment of the tournament? Because there have been so many sort of memorable sort of moments. Definitely like the grasshopper in the Dragonfly.
Yeah, that was good.
Always enjoyable when an insect turns up.
Yeah.
Personally, like, it's more of a personal moment, but when England scored the winner against Tunisia in that World Cup final.
Yeah. That was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had watching England again. Yeah, Thank you to everybody that came down and did that with us. It was wonderful. I would say that the Pavard, Quaresma and Nacho goals all being so similar and actually getting better as they went along was really strangely enjoyable. And also, I've got to say, you know, the design of the ball really helped that. It made that particular sort of goal look really good.
Mm. And a special reservation for compliments needs to go to Russia, both on the pitch and off the pitch, because on the pitch they were much better than we thought they would be. Absolutely. They did really well, and off the pitch we weren't there ourselves, but we heard that absolutely fantastic from start to finish.
I think it's going to change a lot of things politically as well. I mean, it's not an ideal situation for Putin, the idea that the Russians have spent a month watching foreigners have the right to assemble, kind of hang out together.
Just enjoy my trophy, Pete.
Sorry, while Pete's saying this, Luke is just holding the kryptonite aloft.
Well, you know, It's been a long season.
It has.
I know, but he's just
trying to get my opinion across. And
yeah, no, we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Well, Luke won the predictions for the club season.
I did,
season.
But I was terrible at going for gold, so it goes both ways.
It does go both ways, indeed. Yeah. Indeed, it does. Dennis Cherishev.
Yes, absolutely. That was very, very good because he scored two of his goals in particular were absolute beauties. It's always nice to see someone emerge, and I don't think the World Cup is this perhaps star maker that it once was because clubs are so good at scouting now. But it was nice to see figures emerge that perhaps weren't so well known. One thing that I found really, really funny, obviously as we touched on already, was Sepp Blatter turning up at the World Cup anyway. And I didn't get really a chance to talk about this before because he didn't naturally come up in conversation over the World Cup. But for the last World Cup, a good friend of mine did some work with FIFA and ended up going to FIFA House and discovered that Sepp Blatter had an office at the top of the building and it shared a lift with some of the other floors. But he had a button in his office that meant he could press it and the lift would kick everyone else out and just go straight up to him.
Exactly, a lift. Yeah. Privileges.
And I just wanted reason to talk about that.
You're just going to wait longer for a lift, aren't you, really?
You are.
I enjoyed the
I love that
big moment for women in football as well. Croatia had a woman on the bench. BBC,
she was very huggy.
The BBC and ITV had a lot of women on their thing. I mean, not past the knockout rounds. Let's make that very clear.
That
I don't
weird.
Know why. They weren't notable by their absence. I mean, I think.
But still, it's
who would
progress.
Rather have seen any other call than fucking Roy Keane on the bench?
Well, different networks. But was that because they were doing. Pre-season.
ITV.
Both on
ITV.
Oh, Ellen Luke. Oh, it's Alex Scott was BBC. Were they both doing? Were they not both doing pre-season? Because a lot of players went to go.
Yeah, but I mean, they could have had somebody else up there, couldn't they?
True. I also think in terms of what it seemed to mean at the time and the moment of it, one of the things I celebrated the most, actually, outside of England, obviously, was Messi's goal.
That was a lovely goal.
It was a brilliant goal and it looked like actually they might turn it around here, and obviously they went on to get out of the group, but it looked like all the stress that we'd seen on Messi's face, the portrait of anxiety that he was, and the portrait of a man with the pressure of a nation's weight on his shoulders would seem to be lifted in that one moment. I was really, really happy for him. Obviously it didn't work out in the long term, but that was a really brilliant moment.
It was a great goal, and but I stand by that what I said, which is that they were the worst team I've ever seen to get out of the group. They were so bad. Yeah. Given the players they had at their disposal, I mean, I know they had some weak areas, but I mean, that's so many good players.
Yeah, I love the moment that, Gareth Southgate, very calm exterior, very dignified and all the rest of it. And that moment, I think it was after the Colombia game where he went over and just went, yes, come on!
Yeah, that was great. A
lot of love for Mishi Batshuayi. Smacking himself in the face and his reaction to it. Yeah.
South Korea going out, but absolutely mucking.
Oh, that was class.
Yeah, that last goal, because as we said at the time, Germany don't normally go out of World Cups at all, but they certainly don't go out being humiliated.
That South Korea-Germany game, I was in the cab in the south of France going to the hotel where I was staying just for a quick break, and I was watching it on my phone. But you guys were messaging, so I kept looking, and obviously I was miles behind because I was on my phone, and I kept looking at the messages coming through, but having to take myself away from watching the game, going back in. It was an absolute nightmare. I wish I'd seen it live.
What I love is IP latency. It's a big problem.
It is, Pete. You've identified it correctly.
Just the celebrations. What I love is that every goal in the World Cup, everyone's off the bench, the pylons.
Also, we had the record for own goals in one tournament as well. 12 in 2018. So
that's the real top scorer.
The record was 6 set in 1998.
Marvellous.
There we go.
But it's finished.
It's over.
What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now for the next few weeks?
Well, three.
it's been a marvellous ride, and we'll never forget this one. And for England, we're hopefully all the better for it. Mm. I think, of course, we're back on the 6th of August.
Monday the 6th.
For the old club season, remember that?
Yeah.
It feels like after the World Cup, it feels like the festival's over and you've got work the next morning.
Yeah. I've got my ticket for Fulham v Palace on the opening day of the season.
Have you?
For Fulham, I'm going straight back into it.
Straight back in.
On them wooden seats.
Yeah. Glorious.
Back in my Arsenal trench.
Yeah.
Man City to start.
Well, it's interesting for Arsenal. Interesting times. New boss and all that kind of stuff.
Newcastle have signed a goalkeeper and Kennedy.
The
goalkeeper we had last season, and Kennedy, who we had last season.
Well, you've still got Mitrovic on the books. Fulham still haven't quite got him yet.
Let's have him back.
Indeed,
there'll be plenty of time for all this chat.
If you cannot wait to hear my voice again until the 6th of August. Well,
unlikely.
I feature on the Barcelona Legacy podcast, which is a six-part podcast series to accompany Mr. Jonathan Wilson's book all about the Barcelona evolution under Cruyff and the influence on football today. Because there has been a bit of influence from those guys.
When does it start?
The first one is...
It's the 26th of July.
It is the 26th of July. I appreciate that.
That's all right. I'm looking forward to it, mate.
Scrambling around.
Jumping.
The first of the six parts. Yeah, Mourinho and Guardiola, they get big mentions.
Yeah, I bet they do. Does Big Louis get a mench?
Big Louis does indeed get a mench.
Big Louis, who we of course found out last week, could have signed Mbappe, passed him over.
you'll be pleased to know that on this podcast, there are actual experts to talk about it all, not just me, including Gabriel Marcotti, Miguel Delaney, Jack Pickbrook and John Bruin. So great. There we are.
Fantastic.
You can hear me and them. And that's obviously Jonathan Wilson. Yeah.
From the 26th of July, that is, isn't it? And Marcus, because you picked out Griezmann as your top scorer and he scored more than anyone else, any of our selections, I'll give you a point and you can share this with me, mate.
Are you sure? No. That's very
good.
Well,
no, because the World Cup is about bringing everyone together.
Indeed.
And I'm happy to do that, you know?
And it did. It certainly brought England together.
It did.
And now we focus on the divisions again.
And now we blast. Let's set about repairing those in England camp cliques in the club season.
Yes. Indeed. Absolutely right. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a bloody pleasure having your journey with us through this World Cup. We've enjoyed it. This is the most podcast we've done
and the most fun we've had.
And the most fun as well.
It's been absolutely beautiful and it's been brilliant to be, you know, sharing it with so many people. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely, Jim. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, do leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your pods. And a nice rating. That would really help us out. We'd appreciate it. It's been a pleasure for us. Hope it's been a pleasure for you too.
Damn right. The World Cup ride is over for another 4.5 years.
Put it back
in the
garage.
It's not just 4 years, it's four and a half years. Yeah. Which is annoying. But the club season ride will begin in a few weeks and we'll see you there. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Goodbye.
And thank you for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. And it's goodbye from me and London.
Fasten your seatbelts. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through sound.
Starts where it will end. After 32 days and 64 games, the greatest show on earth, the 2018 World Cup, has begun.
It's the World Cup. It's the World Cup.
It's the World Cup.
I love this tawny.
Tawny's a good word.
Germany out of the first phase since 1938.
Yes, one of the big boys have gone, but what I would say is, in the pit of my stomach, there is a feeling that the natural order has been subverted and an asteroid is on the way. This is the canary in the mine, guys.
We are
fucked.
We are through the looking glass, and we have been for a number of years, and this is just further proof of it, isn't it?
Blatter is back, he's touched down, he's in Russia, he was smiling, he was loving the media attention. And it's not good to see.
You cannot keep a good man down.
Oh, how about that?
It was like Nacho's goal taking up another notch. Another rung on the good goal ladder.
It was like Nacho's goal and Charisma's goal started a side project.
Did you know that when that dragonfly came out of Lloris's mouth, it had like a Nike pick on it? It was actually a viral advert.
Well, the knockout stages of the World Cup have come alive right from the start with a 7-goal thriller. In the capital of Tatarstan. It's Tatar Argentina from this World Cup.
This is so flimsy and so...
Yes, it's just weak.
And Marcus, they're on their third manager of the qualification and World Cup cycle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that tells its own story, I'd argue.
Iago Aspas for Spain, got to score, and has not! Incredible! Spain are out! The hosts are through to the last eight of their own World Cup.
He went, right, enough of this nonsense. With a host nation, we need to do something. So for Russia to have a goalkeeper who's had a moment of his own.
Yeah. I think it was really important for Akinfeev, and I was really pleased for him, purely because he was seen as the next big thing back in the day. Yeah. It's this next great goalkeeper, the next Yashin and all this stuff.
And now Mbappe with a shooting chance. The first teenager to score in a World Cup final since Pelé. And France... Tonight in Paris, they're going to party like it's 1998.
London, say goodbye. London, say goodbye. London, Russia, para the moment.
Easy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.